Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I thought what he said right there at the end was pretty interesting, because I never believe teams when they're like, best guy available. We're not looking at position. Best guy available.
Right.
I'm like, no, you're saying that because you took him, and so you want him to think he was the best guy available. But everybody has to think of their needs. There's Andrew saying, no, we did it.
Right.
We drafted Aaron Rodgers. We did not want a quarterback. That way we had no intention of getting a quarterback. We weren't trying to send a message. It was our turn, and he was the only first rounder left. So we took him.
That's right.
Worked out pretty well.
Well, and I think if you're a team that doesn't have a need, that's the way you approach it. And I know Kyle Shanahan spoke to this on Saturday when he was talking about last year's draft, and they went into last year's draft, and they only had one need, and so they set out to address it, and that was kicker. And so they didn't have a pick till the third round, and they used their second of three third-round picks, and they used it on a kicker because they knew that they needed to address that need. So this year, you go into the draft, and contrary to what many fans think, they don't think that they need an offensive lineman as badly as the fans think they need an offensive lineman. So, and if they do think that they need an offensive lineman, they weren't about to take the ninth-best offensive tackle at pick number 31.
Nor should they, yeah.
Exactly. So did they try to trade up and get one of the better tackles who went early in the draft? They might have, but you know the cost to move up in the first round is very, very steep. So do the Niners want to give up multiple picks just to move up to take an offensive lineman who probably won't be ready to roll until next year? Or do you stick at 31 and take the best available, which happened to be a wide receiver?
You can move down.
You can.
You can move
Buffalo
down.
Buffalo moved down and got a receiver.
They moved down twice.
Right.
Niners
moved down twice and then moved up once.
Correct.
With the picks that they got moving down, then they turned those and moved back up. It's also fluid.
Yeah. Of course it is. No, you don't want to force it. You don't ever want to force it. That's just like, rule number 32 of life. Just don't force it. So, yeah, I'm glad the 49ers did that. However, they also drafted a couple offensive linemen. You know what I mean? Like, one thing I've learned through the years of whether it's covering football or even talking directly to, for some reason, when I get a football co-host whenever I'm doing stuff, Fox or whatever, it's always an offensive lineman. There's a bunch of those dudes. Maybe it's just because they're good talkers. I don't know. Good eaters? Anyway.
Yeah, smart.
Smart. But one thing that they've definitely taught me is offensive line is very different than other positions in terms of, like, okay, how are you performing as an individual. It is a concert. These five people are really a chain link fence. And that's the way it has to work. And you saw it in the Super Bowl, where one lineman goes the wrong way and the whole thing just completely gets disrupted. So the fact that they took a couple offensive linemen, people are like, yeah, but that's not the position on the line that I wanted it to be. Well, but I don't know how the deck is all going to get shuffled. I don't even know if these guys are going to play at all. But the deck can get shuffled, and they did talk before the draft even started about the linemen that they thought would be available. They thought they would, A, be a little bit later, and B, they would be positional flexibility guys. Could you be a center? Could you be a guard? Could you even moonlight as a tackle? That's probably who we're going to get. And then they went out there, and that's exactly who they got. So with this being kind of interchangeable, who's going to move, who's going to perform, who's going to make the team, who's not, like I said, you can be mad, but file it,
right?
TBD, and if their line stinks come September, you know, then you can riot if you want.
Right.
I get it.
Sure, come September, but maybe it's better if you wait until, I don't know, January, when the regular season will be just about over. And if they end up going 9-8 next year and missing the playoffs, and it's because of a glaring deficiency at offensive line, then you can all be mad at the end of next year, and you could look at this draft and how you didn't replace guys who needed to be replaced and all the rest of it. But based on the roster that you have right now, it's, especially from an offensive line standpoint, it's pretty much identical to last year. And like I said earlier, last year's offensive line was good enough to win the West and be the number one seed, and you made it to the Super Bowl. So how outraged are we going to be over that group?
Not terribly outraged.
I mean, for me,
but
not that outraged.
But I'd push back on the idea that it's the exact same group. It's April.
Well, as of right now, what you have on your roster is the same five guys.
Yeah, and two new guys. They just drafted two new guys.
Sure.
So I don't know who's making the team. I don't know who's starting. Right. I don't know who they're going to sign between now and then. It's April 29th.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Well, they don't have to know what they're going to do.
Right.
We don't even know their schedule yet, which doesn't come out for another month or so.
Ooh, do we get to play win-loss?
Not yet. And you know
no,
I like
no.
a win.
When it comes out.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course. That's
Thank
a show goodness. Right there. I had them at 12-5 last year.
No, you didn't. Did
Absolutely,
you?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
But you didn't get all the losses right.
No, it was a mix and match.
Yeah.
I did have Cincinnati as a loss.
You did, as we know.
Yeah.
Yes. But
that was the big feather in my cap.
To Cincinnati.
You did
totally.
Not have Cleveland and Minnesota as losses.
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Brian Baldinger, Morning Roast on the Niners, not drafting let's see. Oh, yeah, this was about them not drafting a defensive lineman.
Well, I think they fortified that position in free agency. And so, you know, they got four defensive linemen that have come in right now, you know, and so I think that's where they hit the draft. You know, I think the defensive linemen went early in this draft. They went in the first and second rounds, guys that could step in and play. And they went, you know, receiver because I think they're concerned about paying everybody what they have been paying them and what they might have to. And so I think they addressed the defensive line in free agency. And I think that's, you know, kind of where they're at right now.
I play that for this reason. I think that pairs with the conversation we're having about the offensive linemen in this way. It strikes me as funny when people get to the end of a draft and it's like, well, you didn't take this position. You needed to take this position. Listen to what Andrew Brandt literally just said to us. They went into the draft. The last thing on earth they wanted was a quarterback, and it was the first thing they went and got. So they're playing a board, and we're not part of the game. Therefore, I'm not telling you can't have an opinion about the draft, especially if you're a college football fan, right? If you sat around watching Florida State all day and you think that the corner Green from FSU, you think he stinks or you think he's phenomenal, whatever. You're absolutely allowed your opinion. But I find it difficult on April 29th to go, they didn't address this position. Well, but they still might, number one. And number two, here's the more important one. Did you want them to address the position in a poor way? Is that what you wanted them to do? Because at minimum, here's what I can tell you. I can't tell you if any of the guys picked over the last week were good, are good or not. I don't know if they're going to be any good. But here's what I know. The 49ers are hired and professionals in evaluating these players, and I'm much more comfortable with them at least picking players who they are attached to and feel like their evaluation has led them somewhere, other than they get to the second round and they're like, golly, we don't have an OT yet. We need an OT. Well, sorry, Bob, there are no OTs available. Doesn't matter. I don't care.
Right. Get one anyway.
Pick one anyway.
Right.
That makes me wildly uncomfortable. But it seems like what people want them to do. I don't, like, you'd have to be in the war room to really understand what's happening around you. Who took what? What are the conversations? Who's offering a trade? Who's not? Who are you trying to get in front of? Who, like, all of that is so fluid. It's so changing every single pick. I don't know how you can come out and be like, they didn't get that position.
Right. Well, they eventually did. They got two OTs, as you have pointed out. And, you know, if the Niners had, would they have 16 first-round grades or 28 first-round grades? I can't remember what the exact number.
22 first-round grades and 16 gold helmets.
That is correct.
Okay.
What's the gold helmet thing? They think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, they're the best of the best. The guys they really, really, really love.
And do we know if they got any gold-helmeted guys in their draft?
If you ask them, they'll probably say they're all gold helmets.
Yep.
We don't know for sure.
All 16 of them were available the whole draft.
Right.
Nobody
else
liked
them. All 8 picks they made were all gold-helmet guys.
But okay, say what you're going to say.
22 first-round grades. So let's say of the 22 first-round grades, they had 5 OTs, offensive tackles, who were first-round grades, and all 5 of those offensive tackles got taken before the Niners drafted at number 31. What would you like them to do? Would you like them to take a tackle anyway who's not a first-round grade, or draft a wide receiver that I believe was a first-round grade,
Ricky Pearsall? I bet he was.
Based on what Baldy has said and what so many other people, experts, have said about Ricky Pearsall being one of the 5 best receivers in the draft, if they had a first-round grade on him, even though they don't need a receiver, what do you expect him to do? And Andrew Branch has told us this is what teams do. You take a player who is the best available when you get to a spot, even if you don't think that that's a need.
Right, although it wasn't. I still think it is a need. Maybe not.
Exactly.
Maybe not this year.
Less of a need than some people think that offensive tackle
was.
Well,
that was another thing. Like, based on the way people around the league talked about Pearsall, here's something else that I wanted to make sure we got to today, because I heard a lot of people saying, okay, they've only got 22 first-round grades on people. That means those guys are all going to be gone by 31. And I kept thinking to myself, no, God, no, there's almost no chance that that happens. These teams don't all agree.
Right.
There's not continuity with that opinion. God, I bet there are guys going deep into the second round that the Niners might have had a first-round grade on. I mean, y'all ever done a fantasy draft?
Right.
Has your buddy ever done something in the second round where you're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, so there's such wild variation in terms of who you grade high, what you think, what your meeting was like with that guy. I don't know this. I would be shocked if Pearsall was not one of the 22. I would be shocked.
Yes, I would be shocked as well. And if he was not one of their 22 first-round grades, I would bet that they would have traded out. They would have traded back.
They would have tried, yes, absolutely.
And I think they would have been successful. What team wouldn't have wanted to come up to 31 and get a fifth-year option on a player that they really liked? So the Niners, they did the old stick and pick. You and I talked about it on Friday, or actually on Thursday. Will they trade up? Will they trade back? Or will they stick and pick? And I think they stayed there because they liked Ricky Pearsall that much. It was a first-round grade. And to your point, wide receiver wasn't a desperate need, but you needed that room to get better.
Yep.
And I think that it did.
God, the way the quarterbacks go now is so fascinating, too. Did you see? Do you know off the top of your head, like, 6 QBs in the first 12 picks?
Yeah.
Do you know what round it was when the next quarterback got drafted?
It was the third round, I think.
Keep going.
Spencer Rattler, right? It was not the third round?
No.
It was the fourth round.
Keep going.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I thought he went earlier than that. It was a fifth round? Fifth round Rattler?
Not one QB was taken
on Friday
between the 12th pick in the draft and the fifth round.
Jeez.
So it's like you're evaluated
as
one of the guys. See, this is why I know that the first 22 picks were not the 12. I promise you the Niners did not grade all QBs, all six of them, as first-round talents. There's no chance, literally no chance. Because those guys, if you're just going by grades, I bet a couple of them should have gone in the second or third round. But the QB is so valued now, you have got to freak out to go get one when you need one. And so their value goes through the roof. Like, Grandy, I'm so sorry. Come on, man. He's not the 12th best player in the draft. He may be very...
Bo Nix?
I could be wrong, but I'm talking about just evaluation of players. Even you, Captain Duck, can admit he not evaluated as the 12th best player in the draft. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, they just got scared by what happened with the Falcons and Penix at 8. And they're like, oh, God, what do we do? So they said, we got to get a quarterback.
Do you think that they wanted Penix?
I honestly think they like Bo Nix, but considering that when they were picking, there was only one of those first six guys left, they were like, we have to do this.
You got
to
do it.
Otherwise, we might not get him.
Yeah.
They probably wanted them to take him in the second round.
I mean, the Penix thing is still so crazy, and I don't hate it. I love it, but it's such a shocker, you know? All I could think of was, I'm like, oh, I think the Falcons agree with Larry Kruger. Remember,
right?
He had been there on our show that day saying that's the best QB in the draft.
Stop whopping me.
He likes the Niners undrafted free agent quarterback, too.
Yeah.
He did a deep dive, Dibs.
I bet.
He did a deep dive.
Deep dive.
And he really likes him.
On Tanner Mordecai.
He might be QB2 this year.
Whoa, okay.
And you laugh, but then you go, this is what he did with Brock Purdy.
He sure did.
2 years ago, and we're all
me.
Like, I remember when he first said it, and we were all like, dude, if Brock Purdy sees the field, the season's over. The season's over if that guy sees the field. Now he's going to get $50 million a year.
I know. God.
It's so ridiculous. It's so crazy.
Tanner Mordecai. Same age as Brock Purdy.
Already?
24 years old.
Good Lord.
Absolutely.
How'd that happen?
That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
He's older than Brock Purdy. I take it back.
Okay. Here.
He's 7 weeks older than Brock.
Really?
Yeah. November of 99.
How long has he been in college?
Number six.
Yeah, that a boy, Tanner.
Oklahoma for 3 years, SMU for two, and then Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
You might as well. Nowadays, you got to go to multiple schools. And I heard this earlier.
Yep.
John Lynch,
this is
actually
a great stat
from Saturday.
I know what you're going to say.
Seven of the eight draftees went to multiple colleges.
Correct.
Seven of the eight.
Correct.
Which is, that's par for the course
now. If you go to the undrafted group, that number keeps going. It's almost all of them.
Yeah.
I'll get you the full number even with the undrafted guys in a second. But listen to this is what Larry wrote about Tanner Mordecai.
Okay.
Okay? Quarterback, Wisconsin. Don't say I like the pick. He didn't get picked. All right.
Darn it.
I just did a deep dive on undrafted free agent QB, Tanner Mordecai, and all I can say is, wow!
Love the signing.
All caps. All caps. This guy is the real deal. He's fiery, tough, authentic leader, humble, fast, 4.46 speed.
So fast.
He's quick. He's smart. He's competitive. He played hurt versus LSU in the Reliant Quest Bowl just 3 to 4 weeks after breaking his throwing hand. The ball comes out quickly with accuracy. Good arm strength, Dibs. Great feet. Plays without fear. Don't be surprised if he beats out Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen as Purdy's primary backup. This kid's talent is real.
Man.
All right.
Here's the only drawback. He didn't mention it. This guy's got small hands.
Ooh.
8 7/8.
Is that smaller than Brock?
Really small. Yeah.
Smaller than Brock?
Those are almost like comically small.
You want to talk about comically? Let's go back over those words.
Okay.
if Larry were in here today, you did a deep dive on Tanner Mordecai. I would like to know how you went to YouTube and figured out that Tanner Mordecai is humble. I have never in my life gone to someone's Instagram and gone,
humble,
super humble.
That's a great question.
You can
That's
see
a great
it.
Question.
You can see it all over the computer screen that he's humble. I'm watching this. The GIF that he put up of Mordecai right now is gyrating his right arm through the air to signal first down and tell the other team, yeah, that's what's up. I'm like, that doesn't look very humble to me. How do you find out this guy's an authentic leader and humble on YouTube?
It's a deep dive, Mark. And when you do the deep dive, like a shallow dive, you can't find out about humility. Deep dive, you can find out about humility.
Well, the thing is about Larry, he might have gone to his house.
Yeah.
He might have met Mom. Mom might have been like, he's so humble.
Right.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to tweet that.
I'm going to put that in my profile.
I'll tweet it.
Tanner Mordecai.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Super, super humble. Okay. And then I want to get the number that you were asking about. Okay. The 49ers have 16 incoming rookies.
Okay.
This is thank you, Matt Barrows. 16 incoming rookies. How many do you think played for one school and one school alone?
I'm going to say one, based on the 7 out of 8 of the draftees.
You're low. You're way low. Not way low. The answer is 3.
3, okay.
3 of the 16. And that's it. Played for one school and one school alone. I think, I don't have the full draft list in front of me. Grandy, back me up on this. You see the three names?
I do not, but okay. I could try to get it
up. I feel like two of them are two of the undrafted guys. I could be wrong on
okay.
that, but I think two of them are the undrafted guys. Do you know which draftee actually went to one school and one school alone? You get one guess. You get one guess alone.
Well, I was looking at this earlier and trying to figure it out because, you know, on the 49ers website, they've got the list of all the draftees, and so you're starting to poke through and do your homework. I know it's not Pearsall, and I know it's not Malik Mustafa. I don't think it's Renardo Green. I'm just going to take a guess, and I don't think it was Pooney either. Is it Pooney? Are we going with Pooney?
Let's go Pooney.
It's Pooney.
It's Pooney. Yeah, it can't be Pooney. The dude's 300 pounds.
Actually, that'd be great.
It'd be a lot cooler if it was.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jacob Cowing.
Okay. And you would be incorrect. Right. You said that's Renardo Green.
It was Green. Okay.
FSU. Life.
Lifer.
That's it.
He's a lifer.
FSU. He's about that life.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Jose in Oakland. He's one of our favorites. Hello, Jose. What are you doing?
Hey guys, good afternoon. Yeah. I'm commuting home after work.
Okay.
Okay, I like this draft mainly because I think the rookie, at least from what I see, I think we finally were able to draft a good slot receiver. We haven't had one in quite some time. This guy reminds me a lot of Julian Edelman. That one-handed catch, you know,
yeah,
that's a Beckham, Justin Jefferson type of catch. You cannot teach those. You cannot practice those. That's just pure instinct. And the fact that he did it with the hand opposite to the way he was running made it even better. The guy has a lot of talent, and I think that if provided that Kyle uses him for what he's drafting him for, which is to be a slot receiver and not a blocker, a pass blocker, he's going to make a difference. I mean, we had a receiver like that on Kittle, but for some reason, you know, it seems like all he is now is 80% is he's a blocking tight end, and like, to me, that's a waste. That's like you having a Ferrari and you use it only to go to 7-Eleven to buy a soda. You're just wasting it right there. Now, these issues going on with the offensive line, you know, I trust based on what they've done in the past years that throughout the season, if it becomes necessary, they should be able to find a team that is willing to trade with them and get a decent right tackle. they can serve as protection for part of the years, like they did with Trent Williams. So I'm trusting that they should be able to find somebody like that. Other than that, you know, like I said, the draft just went according to what they had. They were good offensive linemen, but most of them were gone by the time, you know, it came to their turn. And just to draft an offensive lineman, just to draft him, that would have been a wasted pick.
No doubt. Jose, yeah, thanks. Listen, John Lynch tipped us off to this, I thought. Didn't you think he said, like, in that pre-draft press conference, he sort of let people know, we're not taking a tackle at 31. They're not going to be there.
Right.
The guys that we like are not going to be there. And then if we do it there, we're not going to like it. And that's a waste. That's a complete waste. So what we're going to do is sort of transition to guys who have positional flexibility, and you'll probably see those guys happen more in the middle rounds. I mean, like, he didn't quite lay it out like that, but he insinuated it, and it's exactly what they did.
Right, and it's not easy to find an anchor tackle or a tackle of the future down to the bottom of the first round, which is why when you look back at getting Trent Williams, that was an absolute steal to get Trent Williams from Washington for a fifth-round pick in 2020 and a future third. And that may be the way you have to go about getting the next great tackle on your team, because you're not going to have a high pick, most likely. If you continue to be good, you're going to be picking in the 20s, and hopefully you're going to be picking 32nd, and you're not going to have the ability to draft the future great tackle, because, you know, those tackles are almost like quarterbacks, Mark. There's a few good ones every year, and they go very early in the draft.
No doubt, because they're incredibly, incredibly valuable. All right, we'll keep going on the phones in a second, but let's go live to the other room where apparently Lucas would like to you'd like to say something. What's going on, Luke?
Yeah, I have two pieces of developing news.
Okay.
Number one, Andrew Filippone at, I think they just call him the Pony.
Yeah.
He will be joining us
when?
In 5 minutes.
Oh.
At 5:30.
Beautiful. All right.
He was tweeting about Brandon Ayuk and how
yes.
Steelers fans should keep an eye on him.
He said someone, there. He yeah. said 2 hours ago there is movement on the Steelers 49ers front. Okay, that's great.
We'll find out what that means in 5 minutes. The other part is Carter Chickering. You guys meet Carter?
Yes, we've met. Hi, Carter.
The great Carter Chickering.
Hello, you have to turn your mic
hello,
on.
Hello, everyone.
Not a kid. He's a new producer Attaboy. Around
yeah,
here
yeah.
for those listening outside this building. And something happened earlier in very early parts of our show. Matt Nahegan, the boss, who
right.
broke the news earlier, gave Carter a job. And at about 2:30, as we were transitioning into our show, the job that he gave Carter was listen to our station in Pittsburgh. I think it's 97.3.
93.7.
Hear what they are talking about, and if there's anything interesting, cut it and bring it to Willard and Dibbs.
Okay.
So I'm going to, I mean, clearly there's been nothing interesting because we haven't played anything. Carter's been gone for 3 hours now.
Breaking news that I've listened to 3 hours
yeah.
of Pittsburgh radio.
Are you okay?
No developments at all.
Okay.
Tell us what they have been talking
all
about,
right.
Carter,
by the
please.
Way, by the way, real quick, before you do that, because I like this is theater of the mind, and yep. I want to let people know that as we're sitting here talking about offensive linemen, Carter looks like one of them. What round did you go in over the weekend, Carter, who you are 6'9", and no, actually, go ahead. Height and weight. What are you, Carter?
Bona fides.
I'm 6'8", 300 pounds, and I was bummed my name wasn't called
yeah.
over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Did you get any pre-draft workouts?
Yeah. You think I was kidding. 6'8", 3 bills,
yeah.
and you're just staring at us,
yeah.
totally intimidating.
Yeah.
But you also look like an offensive lineman because you just have that aw shucks
yeah,
look about
and
you.
Positional
too.
Flexibility. Yeah. You can put him at guard. You can also put him at center.
Or in Pittsburgh. You can put him in Pittsburgh.
Used for 3 hours of listening.
All right. So, what did you find out?
We have not learned a thing of Brandon Ayuk's development or Deebo
okay.
in Pittsburgh.
Nothing.
But the people like the draft out there in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, because they're Steelers fans.
Yes.
They like everything. All right. So was it good radio or was it a crappy show?
It was all right.
All right. They're just talking about the draft, nothing else.
Moral of the story, they don't care about Brandon Ayuk.
Well, their employees sure do.
Well, we're going to talk to the one that seemingly has the info on him very soon.
Is this the same, Andrew?
Pony.
Yeah.
You want to give out his number? You want to see if it's the same one?
Well, just what area code? What area code?
Mm. Please hold. Oh, 315.
315.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talk to Andrew all the time.
Congrats.
Yeah. No, I know
you
this
get to
guy.
Talk to him again.
I know. He's a good dude.
Okay.
I'm excited. Good job
bloop,
getting
Grandy,
Andrew.
Give him a bloop real quick. I know you didn't hear it because my mic's on.
Thank you. And, hey, Carter, welcome to the team.
Thank you.
I will come up with a new city for you to listen to tomorrow. It'll be wonderful.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, exactly. Go find out what they're saying in Honolulu. I want to know Honolulu's sports number one sports station. Let's go. I want to know. Let's go to Roy in San Leandro. Hi, Roy. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? How you doing?
We're good, Roy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Hey, look, I just wanted to chime in about the 49ers draft. I think the 49ers, I'm like the guy before me, not the one you guys finished talking to, but the other one. They did pretty good on offense. They did get one guard. We don't know how he's going to turn out. But those wide receivers, they really look good. But what concerned me is on defense. I mean, because what's that guy's name, the big guy they got from Stanford? And the 49ers released him. I can't think his
name. Solomon Thomas?
No, not Thomas. The other one. He was real important there for the fixture.
You might be talking. He wasn't from Stanford. Are you talking about Eric Armstead?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah. Oregon. That was Oregon. That was Oregon. But if you're just trying to tick Grandy off, we love it.
Okay, but what I'm saying though is that because you got to remember toward the end of last season, the 49ers got a little exposed because those running backs for those Green Bay and Detroit, they ran past the 49ers.
Yeah, but Eric Armstead, Eric was Roy. We got to run, but Eric was back in by then. Eric was missing pretty much throughout the month of December. I think that was a big part of it. He had a hard time staying healthy, so that was a big part of that that move on. All right, this is fun. I've gotten to go on his show before. Now he gets to do it with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Andrew, how you doing today?
Mark, Dibbs, I'm having fun because what happens here is the draft is amazing. It's A's across the board. Your boy Baldinger just saying that we've knocked it out of the park. What a draft. And then Birdie start chirping about the 49ers and the wide receiver trade front not being a dead issue. So even better, because this is hot burning embers here, and it's got my attention. Well, so yeah, things are great.
Yeah, Andrew, why don't you tell our audience what you're hearing?
Well, Brian McFadden, who played for the Steelers and now works at CBS Sports, sent out a tweet this afternoon and said, "Hey, Omar Khan, he's still working. I'm expecting a significant playmaker lands with the Steelers." So I've got a pretty good relationship with Brian. His cousin is Patrick Peterson. So I'm thinking, all right, B-Mac, your cousin's going to the Hall of Fame, but he ain't a significant playmaker anymore. So you're kind of getting us excited about a guy that was great back in the day but isn't very good anymore. He's coming back to the Steelers, fine and dandy, whatever. And I text him, and he says, no, it has nothing to do with him. He's actually not re-signing. So, okay, well, what's going on? Well, they're talking wide receiver moves. So that happens, and I immediately start texting people that I know and reaching out and everything else. And it comes back to me that it's the 49ers again. And I had heard on Friday that the Steelers and Niners had talked about Samuel and that it basically didn't get very far because San Francisco wanted a first-round pick back from Debo on Friday and the Steelers were just not going to meet that asking price. So I kind of thought it was done. We'd heard everything about Ayuk, the 49ers not wanting to trade him. But today, I'm getting the impression right now, boys, that they've talked, and I originally thought it was about Samuel maybe 2 or 3 hours ago, but now the sense I'm getting is it might be about Ayuk again. So hopefully that caught you up to speed. That was a long answer. Sorry.
It's a great answer. And, you know, out here, the people that we've been able to talk to are saying that it's a non-starter and there's really nothing going on that front. But just entertaining this as a possibility, what would Pittsburgh be willing to part with in terms of not only draft picks, but player compensation as well?
Yeah, just to address the first part of that, it's interesting because every time one of these rumors starts back up, somebody leaks to a 49ers source that there's nothing going on. And then John Lynch makes a public display of saying, no, we like this guy or that guy. There's nothing happening. And then 48 hours or so go by, and it pops back up again. So it's interesting the way that this story has evolved over and over again over the last few weeks. To address the second part of what you said there, Dibs, like, what do I think they'd give up? Well, I know that for Ayuk before the draft, and they hadn't really had any serious conversations with the 49ers at all, but they were going through their hypotheticals and the kind of things that might come up during the next couple of weeks and pros and cons of certain players and trades and free agent signings and whatnot. And I know that they at least talked about a 2025 first round pick. And I know that there are people within the organization that would have traded or would really want to trade or consider trading a first round pick, the 2025 first round pick for Ayuk. And that was before the draft. They were going to trade next. They were considering trading next year's first for Ayuk, before the draft started on Thursday. I don't think they'd give up a first round pick for Debo. I think that would be more of a second or third round pick thing. Maybe they would throw a player in, a guy that's either a starter now or maybe projects as a starter who's younger. I think that's a possibility. I think both guys, there's definite reason to think that they would be interested in either one of those guys. So that's where we're at right now. I know at one point they were at least considering, if the 49ers wanted to really talk deal, parting with a 2025 first-round pick for Ayuk specifically.
We're talking with Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, where rumors are persisting with regard to the Niners parting with one of their starting wide receivers. So, Andrew, are you telling me that the conversations that have admittedly happened last week on Thursday were not about a first-round pick on that day? They were already talking about 2025.
I was given no indication that the Steelers were willing to trade the 20th pick in last week's draft to the 49ers for either wide receiver. I can't confirm on my end if San Francisco asked for that. I know when first-round picks have come up for Samuel, at least I knew on Friday, when they were talking first-round pick, that would have, I guess, been next year's first-round pick. The Steelers didn't want to do that for Samuel. That's what I heard. I did not hear that they were even willing to trade the 20th pick, who ended up being Fautanu, the offensive tackle from Washington. I don't think they were going to trade that pick for Ayuk no matter what. So I know that in the last 24 hours, they've at least talked. I don't know if it's been like a real let's put offers and stuff like that on the table and have a real serious conversation, or if they've just been taking each other's temperature now that the draft is over to see where everybody's at, with where the IU contract negotiations are at, who they're more willing to trade, beats me. But all indications I have is that they're at least communicating again about maybe making something happen.
Where is Pittsburgh cap-wise as far as the ability to absorb a 25-plus million a year deal?
I mean, that's a great question. And so the reason why this is – you know, this has percolated and picked up so much steam here is because literally hours before the draft, the Steelers restructured Alex Highsmith's contract. So he's their other outside linebacker next to Watt, and they moved money around before the draft. And that, I think, set off alarm bells like, okay, why would they do that? The timing of that now, they could have waited until after the draft. That just seemed like a big coincidence to do it, you know, as these rumors and reports, not just about Ayuk and Samuel, but Cortland Sutton, too, was out there, some other things. And then, look, man, they've got two quarterbacks that are making a combined $5 million. They've got Russell Wilson on the vet minimum, and they've got Justin Fields on the last year of his rookie contract. So they're good with cap space now. They can make this deal. When people, you know, were asking me about Ayuk weeks ago, I said to them, they wouldn't even consider calling the 49ers unless they thought they could fit Ayuk's contract and contract demands under their salary cap. I think they're prepared to spend $27, $28 million a year on the right receiver. I think they're also prepared, if they can make it work, to take Samuel's contract, which I know is less. So they're just desperate for another wide receiver, guys. They did not get one in the draft until the third round. It's Roman Wilson. He's more of a slot guy. they need another outside receiver, and I think a lot of the things they're trying to do, following the footsteps and the blueprint of what the Eagles did to get to an NFC championship with a cheap quarterback, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and they've got guys in this organization like their assistant GM who came over from Philadelphia and are very familiar with the way they built the championship caliber roster.
Andrew, so you're saying that if this were to happen, it's almost definitely for draft pick compensation. You don't see a player-for-player situation? Because I sort of feel like if the Niners do this, they need a veteran receiver then.
Yeah, well, you're not getting them. You're not getting it here. I mean, we're slim pickings. You got George Pickens, and then really nothing else. It's slot guys, Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson came over. I mean, they're not going to be able to help you. I mean, the only player who I can think of, and this is me not reporting anything or saying I've got this from anybody, but yeah, if you're looking for another pass catcher, they've got Freiermuth, who acts almost like a slot receiver, a tight end going into the last year of his contract, who's a former second-round pick. I mean, maybe somebody like that. I don't know on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a couple of young guys that are backups that could probably start on other teams. Herbig, outside linebacker behind Highsmith and Watt, is probably good enough to start for a lot of teams, but is just blocked by the two guys here. So I'm not sure. I mean, the 49ers have such a stacked roster. I can't think of many guys who the Steelers would be willing to part with in a player-for-player swap that would make sense for you guys on your end. So maybe it won't work out, but I know that the Steelers are trying to make it work. They might hit a dead end or get rejected, but it's not going to be out of a lack of effort on the Steelers' part.
Really interesting stuff. Andrew, thank you, and something tells me there's a decent chance we're going to be calling again as this thing unfolds.
All right, Willard, Dibs, thanks, guys. Be well.
All right,
you too, brother. Thank
Andrew
you.
Filippone, 93.7 The Fan.
I mean, T.J. Watt, we'd take T.J. Watt if they wanted to cough him up.
Yeah.
Freiermuth is an interesting name because...
Not a bad one.
You know, good receiver and that positional versatility that we talk about.
And people wanted another tight end. Well...
There you go.
There he'd be.
That's another tight end.
Yeah.
And that would offset the loss of Ayuk in the pass-catching department a little bit.
Eh.
I know you're not thrilled about even talking about
this.
Super
down on this idea. But anyway, we're sponsored by the Order of Malta Clinic. We can react to that more, as can you. Coming up next, Willard and Dibs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Interesting development in the series between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis is done for the day. There are some reports of him simply rolling an ankle. They're calling it calf tightness. He's done for the day. Ooh. I'm looking at the injury right now.
I am too.
And it, I mean, listen, I have no idea.
Kobe.
I'm no doctor, but that's what an Achilles looks like when it happens. That's kind of what an Achilles looks like when it happens.
Dre Greenlaw.
I have no idea if that's the actual...
Well, I'll tell you one thing that didn't happen.
Didn't look good.
He didn't roll his ankle.
No.
There was no ankle roll. It was a step. It was a little Sierra, 1-2 step. And then, oh, he pulls up, and the hand immediately goes up.
Bonte just tweeted right after the injury. He didn't specifically say it was about the injury, but I'm betting. He goes, would it surprise anyone if the Knicks were hosting games at Madison Square Garden in June?
Ooh. Vague. Well, yet pointed.
If the Celtics go out, who's next? The Bucks are going to go out, right? Like, and again, the Celtics are still a very strong team. But if they were to lose Porzingis for a significant period of time, that is a significant loss.
Yes.
And we already know that the Milwaukee Bucks, it looks like it's likely tomorrow that they're going to face elimination without their two stars. That's what it sounds like.
Also, with calf issues.
Correct. At least
maybe that's a question that we can get into a whole thing with Dr. Nirav Pandya tomorrow about the state of the calf in modern American sports.
It's the pitch clock, Dibs. You can't be. Right. You cannot hold your calf together in the pitch clock era.
Greenlaw, Giannis, Dame, and now Porzingis, the Achilles, the calf. I mean. Are we neglecting leg day here as a society?
Oh, I'm also watching Porzingis like all the way to the locker room, and sometimes that facial expression tells you the whole story.
Yeah.
Like a player knows when he's dinged and a player knows when he is hurt, and he looks very, very frustrated.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, do we have Doc tomorrow? Are we doing Doc tomorrow? Yep, that's a thumbs up. We got Doc tomorrow.
All right. Prep him on calves and Achilles. We'll get into it.
We will. Gosh, an interesting time, right? So tonight could be the end of the Lakers. The Giants will be starting a series at Fenway Park.
Pretty fun.
Tomorrow.
Have you been there, Fenway?
I have not even been to Boston.
Really?
Like, probably the American city that somehow has missed my movement, and I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to go so bad. I've never been to Boston.
Yeah. I was in Boston for about 4 hours, so I don't even know if I count it.
How'd it go for you?
Phenomenal.
Did you like those apples?
I had it was on my ill-fated drive. I drove from Baltimore to Vermont in search of love. Got there.
That story.
That story. So... After I left South Royalton, Vermont, I had a flight out of Boston a couple days later, a day later. So I drove, got to Boston early, pre-9/11. So you take your bag and you put it in one of those lockers they used to have in the airport.
Major bag alert.
So put my bag in the locker, jumped on the train, and I wanted to go to the Boston Garden to at least see it. I get to the garden and they're letting some employee in or some like interviewee in. So okay. I follow them in, broke away, and gave myself a guided tour of Boston Garden.
You're kidding.
No.
You broke into the garden?
Broke into the garden.
It's amazing.
Next thing you know, I'm down on the parquet floor and just checking it out. And then I security was probably getting summoned. And so I slipped back out. And then back on the train, back to the airport. So I haven't really been to Boston either.
But you never did Fenway Park?
No, I had about a 3 or 4 hour window.
Okay.
So instead of sitting in the airport, which now, I mean, you'd have to because of the variable of TSA, you don't want to get caught. But back then, you could just walk in and out of an airport.
It's interesting. Whitley, earlier we were doing some videos, and one of the questions she asked me is, what's the best venue you've ever been for sport? And yeah. I might have given her a very like recency bias circumstantial answer. Like I said, first and foremost, for me in sports, there's nothing prettier than Oracle Park. There's just like that to me, that setting, but that's also bias, and my relationship with it is completely different
right.
than any other stadium in sport. So I immediately kicked into, so what out of town really grabbed my attention? And I went, I tell you what, I've only been there once, but my goodness, the job they did with this stadium combined with the low prices of food and drink there, combined with the fact that there are a ton of casinos right outside, I was like, I love Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. Loved it. Like, it was an incredible experience. But the further I get away from that answer, I'm like, that can't be the best venue I've ever been to.
Right.
So that was a recency biased answer. But anyway, when we were done talking about it, she goes, you ever been to Fenway? And I'm like, no. Stop making me jealous.
Totally.
So we're going to have to put that on the list here sometime soon.
I'm going to have to do the same. Yeah. My answer to Whitley was typically nuanced, and it's a venue that takes center stage this Saturday for about 2 minutes of our life.
Okay.
First Saturday in May, Mark.
Oh.
The Twin Spires of Churchill Downs.
You went to Downs.
Went to the Downs with my old man, rest in peace, Dwayne Dibley, my brothers Mike and Doug, the 2010 Derby, 109,000 people. Fantastic.
Okay.
It's a great venue.
Not bad.
Took a little different turn. You know, I could have Wrigley or, you know.
I've done Wrigley.
Wrigley's a good one.
Wrigley's amazing. I've done Soldier Field. We've handled Chicago.
Yeah.
I've got Chicago covered. Never been to Boston. And not much of a horse racing guy. Looks like people wear really weird hats there.
The ladies do, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of weird hats. But anyway, whatever.
We all like to bet. Right, and so
we do.
When you're betting on animals. The human being is an animal.
Yes, they
so
are.
For me, the only thing better than betting on animals is animals riding other animals. If I can bet on animals riding animals, I'm in.
I'd like to bet on Nikola Jokic to ride LeBron James tonight. I can tell you that right
you
now.
You better be
nope. 6.5.
Nope, I'm saying it. Actually, yeah. Do I have time? Dub time.
Yeah, the game's not until 7.
Just do this right now while we're here. What? How much you want me to bet?
I go half a unit.
What's a unit?
For you, $20.
You only want me to go 10?
Not 6.
$10? That's not even going to make this fun.
And put a 50 on it.
Well,
50 burger.
All right, take it easy.
Major bag alert.
Hey, actually, I waited it out and I got an extra half point, Dibs. It's down to 6.
Down to 6, okay.
Yeah, it's down to 6.
And Boston up 22, even without Porzingis. So.
Oh, yeah. They're Boston. They're fantastic. They're going to kick the Heat's you know what. All they needed to do was get that little cage rattler the other day, and they're like, oh, you're going to play in this series? We're tied 1-1? You stole one in our building? That's the end of that. You're adorable.
Yeah.
And you're out. Boston's fantastic, man. But, yeah, this is not... I want to be careful here. This is not a, I think it's going to go this way. This is a, I want it to go this way bet. I'm all in. Do we know on Jamal Murray yet? Grandy?
Game time decision.
GTD. Mm. Not GPD. No, Grandpa Daddy.
And the number's coming down, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're doing it.
I like it.
We're doing it.
One just quick NFL aside, because you and I talked about it during the break, because I get excited for all things NFL, as do you, as does everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like, and this is unofficial, but the NFL schedule likely to be released a week from Thursday. It's traditionally right around that second Thursday of May. May 9th could be the day.
Yeah.
We're talking about 10 days, my brother, and then we can really start to sink our teeth into the Niners schedule.
I am going to take that day off. Is what I'm going to do.
I got them 11-6, Mark. You're not taking it off. You love the win-loss game.
I'm not going to take it off. Grandy, what are you starting with? What are you doing? What's happening
Baldy
tonight?
Baldy on the morning roast.
Okay.
He was great.
All right. Yeah, he was good. I've heard some of it. Then what else? What else? Promote the whole thing. Come on. What else?
Baldy was on for a whole hour. It might just be all Baldy.
Play all Baldy.
He's mailing it. It's a mail-it-in Monday for Grandy.
I mean, it's Baldy. It's off-season Baldy. How can you go anywhere else?
Just ignoring afternoon drive all evening long. That's fine. Well, I tell you what. Here he comes, everybody. It's Mark Grandy with the best of the game, also known as the best of Baldy. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking. No compromises. A lot of fun today. Hopefully Brandon Ayuk is not a Steeler by tomorrow. Hopefully the Giants are working on their Boston accent. And hopefully the Lakers are, joining the Warriors fishing here in a few hours.
The end of LeBron James in L.A. starts now.
Let's do it, man. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I do, yeah.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Gandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.